We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat postgame show. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. After a huge Heat win, with me today, we got the intern, Pablo.
What's up, guys?
How we doing?
What a win.
What a win.
What a win.
We got Frankie G.
We have enough.
We have enough. We actually have more bodies available on this postgame show than the Heat did tonight. That's a true statement. We got Saucy Takes, Coach Lou.
Man, I think Spoelstra has wet dreams about games like this.
He loves this shit so much.
Sicko. I love it.
Pure sicko.
This shit so much. And finally, the great Siobhan. What's up, Vaughn? Good evening.
I think Spo and I must be connected in our dream space because maybe
Spo's just the Chris Quinn of other Spo's dreams.
This shit is so fun.
Miami, as of tonight, is in sole possession of the final of the sixth seed, meaning they are out of the play-in. That's a win for tonight. After they lost seven straight games, it looked like they were in the depth, staring down the barrel of what was going to be a very uncomfortable second half of the season with a lot of questions. And they've answered a lot of that. And I know that celebrating being in six is not very Miami Heat, but they are 2.5 games back from four and 2 games back from five. And really, I think if you can get to five or four, that is just the win of a lifetime. If you're Miami, but
third easiest remaining strength of schedule.
Listen,
yeah, but that means nothing for us. It's the, at the end of the day.
Yes, Papa.
The Knicks barely hold on to the against the Detroit Pistons, needing the most egregious no call I've ever seen in my life. In
regular, that was ridiculous.
Oh my god, that was crazy.
So stupid, bro.
And we're here. We're on a road trip. The Heat get a great win tonight. Lou, you were talking about how much you love this. They go into Sacramento, a team that had won 6 out of their last 10. They were on a winning streak. They had won 3 games in a row. You see what that offense can do. They're down really every competent ball handler they have and their best player, and they go in and they get a win. They hold on.
Best player, Duncan Robinson, played tonight. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, for real.
He had
bro.
The best ball handler out there today.
10 assists, baby.
Point Dunkus over Point Justice. You heard it here first.
Whoa. Take him out, Brass. Take him out, Brass.
No, but seriously, like, we're over here. Like, this is crazy, guys. Like, 3 years ago, if Duncan Robinson went one for last season, if Duncan Robinson went 1 for 11, everybody's on his ass. Today, 1 for 11, everybody's like, when is he coming back in? We need somebody to stop this zone press. And Spo was like, it's time. Came back in plus 25 today. he is no longer the Duncan of old. If he's not scoring, he's not snoring anymore. He affects the game in so many ways. I'm so fucking happy for this team, man. Dangerously looming, man, for sure.
Dangerously looming. They, you know, let's stick with Duncan for a second, Frankie, because a guy like him, exactly like what Lou said, if he wasn't contributing scoring, there wasn't a lot that he could do. And I know we talked a lot about in years past the way he moves without the ball, the way he screens, the way he does all the little Duncan things. But there was a tangible, there was a quantifiable difference when he was on the court. And to him to become a guy that Spo is like, hey, we need an answer to a press, and it's you, Bucko. And for him to deliver, and again, it didn't look pretty. He did enough. He's not a primary ball handler. He's not, you know, he had the 11 assists because he's such a good passer off the pick and roll. But, like, you know, he's not a point guard. And for him to be put in a situation like that, getting that kind of defense and them coming out the other side, I think is remarkable, Frank.
Testament. Oh, man. He was just so patient and under control. The reason he was so good about versus the zone and versus the press, he was very comfortable just taking his time, catching it, looking up, looking ahead, finding the soft spots, directing traffic, just being patient, being a veteran. I think we, you know, Duncan's only been around for like 4 or 5 years. We forget that guy's 29 years old. That guy's seen a lot of shit. He was magnificent today. Just his awareness overall, his leadership. He picked up a delay of game warning that it's not going to show up on the box score, but he was arguing with the ref because the ref disrespected him, and he was holding the ball. He's like, I'm not giving this shit up, and he dropped it, rolled it ahead of him. And I'm like, where has this motherfucker been? Ever since Jaylen Brown tried to rip his arm off, he's been a different guy. This whole season, he's been different. I just love his attitude, his tenacity. He's playing with confidence, and he's sure of himself, and that's something – you know, we talk about all the skill development, but I think that's the personality development that was really missing in Duncan's game, that belief and self-confidence that was going away at times, you know, when he felt that imposter syndrome in like the finals, for example.
I mean, Bon, I don't know what else there is to say. You know, again, 11 assists. Hard to only two turnovers considering what happened at the end of that game. Hard to argue with those results. Plus 25 team leader. Don't think that's a coincidence.
No, not at all. And like both Frankie and Lou said, you know, who'd have thought that on a game, you know, where he shot so poorly, just everything else that he does just overshadows. And like you said, like, I don't give a damn about the shooting right now. I need you to come and do these other things that you have been doing. Frankie talked about his patience, and with the patience, his steadfastness on his drives. Like, he's using his body much better. He's leveraging his own strength. He has the kind of off ball chicken wing, you know, in good possession that's getting him, you know, kind of a good leverage on his drives, and he's just making good decisions. He feels like he's become like more athletic a bit, or like at least more acrobatic in kind of how he's maneuvering and handling his body around the rim. And I think that's really kind of surprising. I don't know that you see guys like him kind of actively pick up athleticism. You pick up agility, you know, you can pick up like some quickness, but kind of like there's a different kind of fluidity in his body that I think is just really fun and helping aid, you know, everything else that's coming along. I'm super happy for him, and just, you know, kind of like Frankie said, to be out of that place mentally where, you know, your shot's not falling and it's like, shit, I have to press to make up in other areas, and now I'm getting fouls, and now, you know, I'm off balance trying to prove that I should still be on the floor. But he's playing free of that. And, you know, I think it's been, you know, for the better of him and, you know, clearly for the better of the team.
Pablo, they avoided a collapse unlike one I have not seen in a long time.
And that's saying something.
And that's saying something, because they're the kings of that, of whatever. They're the Michael Jordans of whatever that was. You know, they're the goats of that. And for them to pull it together, Bam might have had like six turnovers by himself. It was just it was a disaster.
He couldn't handle the double teams at all.
Pablo, before we get into that, I just think that their resilience from that to close out the game, whatever it was, a 9-2 run or whatever that was, to shut the door, that shows me something without Jimmy. That shows me something when they were frazzled. And I think that matters more than them being up 20.
Yep.
They held composure. And they just – so 2 months ago –
they regained composure, I would say.
They 2 months ago, that's it. Like, the moment they blew that lead, it was game over. They were going to lose that game. But they fought back, and at the end of the day, basketball is a game of runs. The Kings had their run, and then the Heat withstood that run and went on their own run. And instead of giving up and just be like, oh, whatever, it's a two-point game, they fought back, and they showed that we can win this game still. And the resiliency, it was beautiful to watch how – as to somehow they blew a 20-point lead, but they still won by more than 6 points. It was nice to watch.
I mean, plus 25, Duncan, he comes in the game, really turned it around. Guys, let's talk about what went right in that game before we talk about what went wrong, because I do have some thoughts on particularly Bam. But let's talk about what went right, Lou, because their shooting tonight was incredible. I thought what Caleb gave them, you know, in particular, and off the bounce. And I think I tweeted that he has the quickest acceleration on the team, which is not saying a lot, but certainly it jumped out the page tonight. He looked springy. He looked healthy. But I just thought that they're shooting tonight. When they shoot like that, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, and like you said, much of it really had to do in that first quarter with Caleb seeing the ball go through the net. I believe he made his first three, and he made about two threes that first quarter. And then it carried over to, you know, Highsmith, the second half of that first quarter. And, you know, like you stated, with Caleb regaining his athleticism back, Highsmith has also regained some of his just ability to shoot. Like, you know, he's a streaky shooter. And when it's crazy, people notice when people do things right when the ball goes in the basket sometimes. You know, that's all it takes. When Highsmith starts hitting shots, everybody's like, damn, he's just that much better of a defender. Like, you know, he was doing things to that team defensively that should be studied. He needs to be studied defensively, because it was his intensity, his ability to put the, you know, digs. Because the Heat's defense was literally turnover or basket for that entire first quarter. And their offense was just feeding off of these turnovers, feeding off of this energy. And they were just playing so free, I guess, is the way that I'll put it. Particularly, I want to say through the first three quarters of the game, they were playing really, really free. But in that first quarter, I believe they had like 18 assists in the first half. Like, it just felt like they were on a different tier. And the ball was moving. There was juice behind the ball.
Free flowing,
and they didn't really stick to it. Was a lot of mismatch hunting this game. It was just a beautiful game, man. I don't know, it's what you want to see. It's like, if this offense can remain like this when everybody's back, I don't know if it can, but if it can, that offense is good enough.
Like, they look good against New Orleans. I mean, they were clubbing them, and they were all there.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a matter of consistency with the team. Yeah, the shots fell today, particularly in the first half. In the second half, it was a little rougher. But still, it was just the process of it all. It just got a lot quicker. One of the guys who I think helped with that, particularly, I don't know how we've gone 15 minutes. We haven't mentioned the guy's first game. DeLon Wright, guys.
DeLon Wright.
The most unsexiest stat line, I think he finished. I think, did he finish with 10 points?
Oh, more. He had like 12, 13 points.
13, 3, 5, 2 steals, 1 block.
The most important number? 0 turnovers.
0 turnovers. But his ability, a lot of, you know, and rightfully so, when Bam started getting doubles sometimes later on in the game, things clogged up. I think his ability to move off the ball and provide almost... All right, so we've seen this too many times. When Bam gets doubled, ball swings. By the time it gets to the corner, Josh Richardson is just standing there. We wasted 5 passes, 6 seconds, and we have nowhere to go. He did it twice today where he, before the ball came to the corner, as the help was rotating to a particular spot. He curled and cut. On one of them, he found Highsmith in the right corner, and on the other one, he zipped it back to Hawkins in the left corner. Shit like that completely makes the difference on how you view or how people view in general when we get doubled, how we handle it. Because sometimes it's not on the player getting doubled. It's on the team around that player to find the correct – just read and react to the space. And I thought they did a good job of that, particularly that first half.
Shout out to Just Jared for subscribing with Prime. 20 months says, let's go Heat. Love that. Letch's Commissioner gifted a tier one sub as well. Appreciate the love and support. I mean, Bond, you sent us in the group chat to piggyback off of what Lou said. You were like, hey, Josh, thank you for your service. But
girl, like, it's been a blast.
It's been real, Jay Rich.
Good vibe, brother.
And I don't even want to, you know, like, the stretch of games leading up to Josh's injury, he'd been playing better. He'd been playing well. Yeah, he'd found a groove. He'd been playing in what you kind of, you know, idealize as a role for Josh Richardson. He was doing the slashing things. He was doing the secondary penetration types of things. And he was, shooting better. I really like what DeLon gave you today. And one in his frame. And he just feels that much more comfortable with the ball. I don't get kind of the crackhead, antsy type of energy off of him. That's kind of like all I can mean by that. I can just, right. It's just there's an angst. There's kind of a chaos that feels to radiate off of certain guys in like high key pick and roll type of handling situations. And I don't get that from DeLon, but he has like the wiry type of frame that you would almost kind of expect to maybe be present there, but it isn't for me. And I thought that was really, that was really cool to see. 6'5", makes, you know, really, really good decisions with the ball, but doesn't try to do too much. Like the great decision doesn't have to be, you know, the most complicated one. It doesn't have to be, you know, these wild skip passes. To the point of the shooting and kind of just the offense in general and where it does stagnate, The fact that Haywood, Jaime, Caleb, DeLon to an extent, Nico as a pick and pop threat, more so above the break, but the fact that you have at least four guys who you can put in either corner and kind of right at the break point, and you have a Nikola and a Kevin Love who can kind of be your above the break guys, it makes the pick and roll, the high pick and roll, whether it's Tyler and Bam or Duncan and Bam, that much more, you know, it gives it that much more space. You're either splitting two with one because you have to bring your low man to tag Bam on the strong side, or you're not. And then we just have guys who are spraying it. And he listen, there is some crackheads in the league, Skinny McGee. But yeah, like the coming on of everyone else's, shooting prowess just help simplify things. I like that Miami has, you know, the versatility that we do east-west, that we can run all of the fades and all of the stags and all of the kind of, you know, really fun schemes to get, you know, from side to side on the court, but to have it be able to space and you just have a simple, you know, high ball screen, roll, what are you going to do type of thing. And it for that to be potent in that way, I think, you know, serves them well to be able to pick apart defenses and, you know, kind of multiple ways doing it. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's just gelling. It's coming together really nicely. I love the Kevin Love Bam minutes. I love letting Kevin Love post and be where he wants to. We'll also stretch, let Bam do his things. Like, it's just all of the kind of pieces and components, just continue to coalesce for the group.
Why has chat made Jay Rich Tyrone Bigums? If this was hangover time, Brass would have the edited GIF ready to go and everything. Frankie,
yeah.
As we move on from the Heat looking to have hopefully solved their backup point guard problems, although I will tell people it's only been a game, you know, let's be a little, right. Let's have a little grace with him and with the team. You know, it's only been one game against a bad defense or an okay defense, I should say. So, you know, let's give it some time as we kind of see them get all their bodies back, but for sure it feels like a comfortable stopgap, at least for now, and hopefully kind of something more going forward. Frankie, let's talk a little bit about their defense tonight, because their zone was interesting. And then I want to get into Kevin Love. But, you know, the zone has been obviously a weapon for Spo. And I think it was Lou that said he expects to see a lot of it tonight to preserve Bam's energy going into the back-to-back. Frankie, what'd you make of their defense tonight, and particularly kind of their zone?
Ah, the zone defense. When you have weapons like Haywood Highsmith and DeLon Wright and Caleb Martin on the perimeter, it makes everyone's job a lot easier. Look at De'Aaron Fox's night. He had 7 turnovers. You barely heard his name for the first 3 quarters of the game because he couldn't get by. He couldn't get dribble penetration. He couldn't create anything. And they were really good about, you know, swinging the arm around, getting a little deflection, poking the ball away, and creating offense. Highsmith was everywhere defensively, just deflecting, harassing, stunting, just preventing anything from being easy and simple, messing up their timing. DeLon, just phenomenal body control, using his hands, poking the ball away, reading the passing lanes, deflections. Caleb was very active. Jaime underrated in the zone too, helping on inside on his rotations from the weak side, making great reads there. Bam, of course, had some great help. Kevin's been really solid all season. Most of the season, he had a little slump there coming off the injuries and stuff, but he's been better lately, had a phenomenal game. Defensively, they just never let them get comfortable in anything. They were preventing dribble penetration all night, just being a pest, a nuisance to the team. Sabonis couldn't really get anything going. He got a couple offensive rebounds, a couple easy broken plays where he took advantage of. But he had mostly overall quiet night. Murray killed them, but they did a great job on Fox and Herder. I love DeLon Wright chasing Herder on the screens. He does such a good job getting skinny. It's almost a relief to have that option, a guard who can get skinny around screens consistently and play help side without giving up size. It was nice. Caleb did a great job on Fox, so I want to give him credit on the ball point of attack. I was surprised they went with Caleb there, but they gave him the size, the more size and more athleticism, and really bothered Fox.
They were active and they competed today in a way that I was blown away going into the fourth quarter, and particularly on defense. On offense, you know, they have their streaky nights, but you know what, they have had so many issues containing guys like Fox, you know, off the dribble. Tonight was something kind of unusual for them, but hopefully will trend that way going forward. I have Celtic fans that are friends of mine texting me that they are so happy Miami is out of the play-in because they don't have to, they hope to not see them because they're all traumatized. All those people have the fakest bravado on Twitter because in reality, they're all like that. They're all fucking scared of DeLon Wright. They're all scared of Jaime, and they're all scared that Cole Swider is going to figure it out against them. Because, yikes, that young man is a little rushed. go back in the lab, kid. You'll come out a soldier.
He played 2 minutes, bro.
That's what I'm saying. And he missed 2 shots, and the second one like rolled out.
I haven't seen that man make a shot in the regular season.
That's some Brian type hate right there.
Just Aaron says no one's afraid of Swider. I remember that preseason game when he balled out. Every Celtic fan was like,
"We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back.
We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This ends with him in Game 7 going 6-9.
Y'all are going to be hearing your words next season.
We all know. I think he'll be good. I just think he'll be young. All right, we're gonna do Kevin Love and then Hawkes. Pablo, we could talk about Love. I thought, you know, Lou had mentioned Lou really provided the show sheet today. Talked about the mismatch hunting. Kevin Love, I thought getting in the post was really good. Bon, we'll go to you after. We could talk about the two big lineups because I know that you want to get into that. But I thought Love kind of attacking their switches. Herter would get on him a bunch, and Love was kind of torturing him. Had a really, really nice game. Very vintage Minnesota performance in terms of kind of where he got his shots. Obviously indispensable to have a guy like him.
He was able to pick out which person he wanted to take into the post, and he was driving in like it was 2011. Not catching bodies in a way where he's dunking, but he was creating contact and going to the line like if he was 25. And that was like a big part why we went big in the third quarter. Those threes he hit, I think it was second quarter when Sabonis was guarding him, those threes were some crazy ass threes because he was pump faking. Sabonis wouldn't jump and he would still shoot and he'll make them. Him off the bench has been quite possibly like, I think probably our best player off the bench when Duncan starts, because I still think Duncan's better off the bench when Hero is starting. But for sure, Kevin Love is a top five most important player on our team right now. And it's crazy to say that because he's like 37. But he's just been, you take him away from this team, and I don't know how I feel about our bench unit without Kevin Love.
Please don't take him away.
And he does it in 15 minutes. Like, anytime he gets exactly 15 minutes, he's fucking going to fucking work. 19.7 rebounds in 15 minutes.
That's crazy.
That is old man efficiency. That is some get in, get out. I'm talking the fuck in. I don't want to talk. Don't talk.
I'm ice in the knees. 6 minutes left of the game.
He would have had 22. If you didn't,
we're not work those friends. We are co-workers. Okay, I'm in here and I'm home.
That man does not go by the coffee machine to chat.
Hell no.
For the little cola.
I bring my lunch. I sit at my desk. I eat my cheese sandwich and I'm out.
Doesn't take lunch. Work eats through lunch. Just sits. Just eats. Works. Does all that.
He's like, I'm not working overtime. Don't even ask me.
He was babying them in the post.
It no,
was
so I don't crazy. Want any extra hours.
No, was, I will not crazy. Be going to the company picnic.
Kevin Love sounds like me at the arena. No, I would not be working no more.
You know what's so funny? Apparently, Kevin Love does like to hang out with the guys, which is just really funny.
No, off the court, yes. But in the game, he's all business.
All business.
Which is good. That man's a million years old. Preserve.
Bro, but he's trucking them, bro. He was trucking them. Like, there's three straight plays where he was just going to the post and the defender was on the floor, free throw line. Dude, that shit was crazy to watch.
I want minimal minutes. They got to pickle him. They got to put him in some vinegar and some spices. Just preserve his ass. Yes. Shelf stable. Give that out or out. Bond, two big lineups. They've been successful. I'll pull up the lineup data now, but it just feels like they have figured out a lot of the high-low stuff. I think, especially with Highsmith, when he cuts from the weak side, I think that that's been like really kind of helpful for them in those lineups in particular. And they just have a lot of movement. And obviously with Kevin, I mean, it helps that Kevin's shooting the ball well again, because he did struggle for a while, which I think kind of makes those difficult. But I mean, they look good together. They're +4 on the year net rating, 110 offensive rating, 106 defensive rating. So pretty good. But how you feeling about it? Way it's trending.
Yeah, I like the – so I understand you putting Haywood in the conversation, and I get it, but I won't. But he can serve for them in that way. But between like Bam Nicola and Kevin, especially Bam and Kevin, because – Kevin will shoot from a distance that Bam will not. And Bam, if you're going to take a damn three, shoot it like you meant to. Don't just like
yes.
That release felt like that shit like slipped out of his hands. Shoot the ball. It's fine.
He didn't want to do it.
He did not want to shoot
do
that.
It. Don't do it. Like, don't tease me that way.
It was like he was bullied to do it. It was like, oh, come on, shoot the three. You know, you're yeah. like at a charity event. Shoot
Very
it, shoot
peer
it.
Pressured. No, then just don't. But Kevin will, and Kevin is, and I, before I talk about Kevin posting, I would be remiss. Bam showed me things in the post that I've been really happy to see from him. Typically, he's on the right block. He's probably not going baseline. He's going to give you that half spin just to rock himself into rhythm to get into that shot. He went to the baseline aggressively. He still got to a shot where he wanted to. And I think he understands that he's athletic enough to get to the baseline, and Caleb does it a lot too, like finishing at the rim, but like with his head kind of beneath the basket or on the other side of the basket. And that's a angle that's small, but it's open if you can get to it. And like I said, Caleb gets to it a lot. But the versatility that Kevin Love allows you to play with, he's a great post, like post present. He seals beautifully. It's why he's such a great rebounder. Also, he leverages his off arm so well in rebounding possessions. He has you stuck here, and he's going to tap it to himself, bring it down. Ceiling, same thing. He uses his angles really well. And so now you have a post presence who, you know, at some point commands, you know, at least a body and a half. Bam is able to kind of be in the areas where he likes to be. And they did on one of the possessions today, Kevin started in the corner. We're a great baseline cutting team, whether it's the guards kind of, you know, hanging around the short corner and flashing across the lane and finishing under the rim, or it's, you know, Kevin did it today. Started in the corner, inched his way in. Bam was kind of out on the, like, left-ish elbow area. And then Kevin just flashes, gets a good seal. And I don't know, it allows you to have your defense in its shell or whatever, but even within the shell, having a presence in the post that's going to command attention allows you to kind of stretch it even further in like a shorter part of the shell. It's just, I don't know, it's just, it's really fun. And it just warms my heart a lot because, you know, the NBA kind of is what it is today, but it's really like, I really love seeing a guy with like a solid post game. And it doesn't have to be something, you know, Alpha in the chat was like, you know, we've seen it work against teams like Milwaukee, But against Boston, you know, it probably doesn't. And that's fine. It's not something that you need to necessarily go to every day. It doesn't have to be like your baseline grouping, but to know that you have it, to know that you can go to it, and now you have a package of things that you feel comfortable with, whether it's Bam and Kevin, Nikola and Bam. Bam will then kind of take the posting position for that. Nikola's a pick and pop threat, elevated sideline, can get it into him. To know that you have the ability to go to these things and are comfortable with them now, you know, it just gives you that much more to work with.
I agree. And I think just having options is always good. It's always good to have tools. I do want to say about Bam's post game, I was not a huge fan of it. A lot of times, particularly when he got doubled, I think that he tries to split it a lot. And I think he's too good a passer to let them get away with that cheeky late help. Because that guy, that second guy comes, they're sitting on the spin move. And the second he spins, that guy comes. And I'm like, you're too good. You're too good to not know that's coming. Especially when it's happened 3 fucking times in a row. And you're too good a passer to not be able to like figure it out. Even if your guys aren't moving great. And I kind of think that collapse is mostly on him. And I mean, I think that got out of hand.
He wasn't in at the start. Let's hold on. He wasn't in the game when it started collapsing.
I think a lot of it, I think a lot of the worst turnovers were him.
Okay.
You disagree? Man, I could be wrong.
He was near a lot of the worst of them.
He had fucking 5 tonight. And I bet 4 of them came in the 4th consecutively.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't as good as we would like him to be because it was this. I honestly
he was
don't.
Even, plus 11. It's crazy.
Because he was great tonight.
Bam was great.
He was great.
Fantastic.
He had 28-10-7. I'm sorry.
Evaporated before our eyes.
Who helped build that 20-point lead? But, I'm sorry.
You watched the last 5 minutes. That 5 minutes in the 4th quarter.
Everybody wants to shot.
Because you're
would be more successful than them dudes trying to jump Cam.
Look, I don't even think it's crazy. Bam with the double. I do think that's an issue, but I think today, particularly, the issue was just him catching the fucking ball.
Yeah,
like it wasn't even like the double sometimes. Like he lost like twice to the double, he bobbled every single entry pass for that 3 minute stint in the 4th quarter.
When he loses it in the double. Sometimes it is super frustrating because like he's not being doubled with his back completely toward where the defense is. He's being doubled in at least like a half side, like his back is to the baseline. You can see that it's coming. I don't understand it's not. Yeah.
And he lets it come.
Give me one retreat dribble and like create a little bit of space for yourself, but like I can't have you watching it come and then like I actively see you going like oh shit, and then it kind of just like falls out your hands. But Bam was fantastic too.
The most annoying ones for me. No, but then the most annoying ones for me were when he's in the middle of the zone at the high post at the free throw line, and they're throwing the ball into him, and he's trying to catch it one hand, but he's not trying to catch it and like bring it in. He's trying to tip it to himself, and that's where somebody gets a hand on it, and they lose it. And Fox got like 2 steals off of that alone.
Yeah.
That's where that's super annoying. But besides, I mean, the turnover is awful in the 4th quarter. But besides that, he was phenomenal.
No, he was fantastic.
Getting Jaime involved on the cuts, got Jaime like 3 or 4 layups right there.
Beautiful.
Jaime with great cuts and seals, reverse, doesn't matter. Both of them did a phenomenal job getting the team going. And defensively, I mean, Sabonis, it had nothing on Bam. Like all of
Sabonis traveled like 4 separate times.
Can we?
Bam
every
feels
time.
So much stronger. Like then not Bam doesn't get moved often, but like. Sabonis tried to like lay the wood 4 separate times and just like travel.
His play style is just like he travels so much, like it's so weird. Like they called it, I think they called it once,
yeah,
the very first time. After that, it just let it happen. And like he tries to bump bodies, and when he can't move someone, he takes little hops. But Bam just locked that shit up today.
No, Bam was clamping that shit up today. Like realistically, he had a lot on his plate today. And he fucking responded like,
no,
yeah, he had
3 turnovers in the 4th. No, he hates them. He was awful. He was Kyle Lowry.
It wasn't perfect.
Dog shit game by Bam today, boys. But
like he got to his spots. The first quarter, he set the tone as well. Like, the team did a great job passing him the ball on, like, the two lobs, Caleb one and Duncan the other. But just in general, can we, for just for a smidge second, this doesn't have to do entirely with Bam. This is just the offense as a whole. This was the best, I want to say, like, entry pass game we've ever fucking had this year. I didn't see a single turnover on an entry pass today, and we had about 17 of them because Bam was getting entry passes. K-Love was getting entry passes. Hawkins was getting entry passes. Yep. I was like, we just turned into 2005 Shaq in the post, just fucking feed him. It was great. I'm baffled because we typically we struggle with entry passes, but today
the league in general.
Hold on,
yeah, the league in general. Kyle not being on the team kind of helps that though. I'm kidding. It was. I'm really not though.
You're not kidding.
I want to give Chad a little context. I feel like dog right now. I don't feel well. And Lou and I said, I go, guys, I don't know how I'm getting through the show tonight because I feel like ass. And Lou is trying to fucking kick me when I got no fight left.
G saw that Kyle got stitches and he's out of it completely.
Did you see that he got the little number 7?
Yeah, he's Harry Potter now.
Yeah. he's a chosen one.
Yeah, but what helps, like, more solid post entry? This felt like one of the. We felt like we had real post presences. I was very happy in seeing Bam like legitimately keep guys on his back. And Bam's not going to win like a posting battle against, you know, too many people bigger than him. Maybe not too many people his size, even though he should. But when he gets these cross matches, he had like Malik Monk on him. He had like Barnes. Harrison Barnes on him a few times, but like really, really was, you know, being adamant and holding his frame. Getting his numbers open, like, it helps your post-entry passing when you have a more firm target to get it to.
You always mention that, Bond, that he doesn't consistently put his butt down, get it seals, man, call for the ball. But when he did great in the post was doing minimal things. He's facing up one quick move and go. And he hit that hook shot that you've been asking him to hit all season.
Oh,
he hit like 4 of them today.
Yes.
It was doing a great job.
So pleased with him today. He did so many of the things.
No, 3 turnovers. He was awful. He was shit.
Leave me alone, man.
Game sailing block. He was awful.
I just got mad.
You shouldn't have let him get to the rim. What's his problem?
Split the fucking doubles, like, and then there was like 2 times that he got,
you
know,
the double that you were most upset about that you tweeted that he got free throws.
He got free throws. He got free throws. There were 2 that he did that. And there was one in like the first quarter.
You just wanted to hate.
And he got free throws because I just think that's bad habit, bro.
It was awful because it was an offensive rebound and they were taking their time, set Bam in the post, threw it in there with 5 seconds to go, and nobody moved. Everybody was sitting there in the zone. His only outlet was like at the top of the key, passing, making a jump pass over 2 bodies and the help guy to the top of the key, whoever was there. I was like, he got free throws, G. What are we doing?
I know, man. I don't know. I want perfection. I was just mad. I mean, them blowing the lead was annoying, and then it just kind of fed into just, like, I don't know. You're the best player.
But then between he and Hawkins were the like, brought him back. Like, Hawkins had his 3 trips, like, 3 trips. God, that the first – Jaime did something in the post first.
He abused Sabonis.
The most beautiful step through on the baseline.
His ass.
Oh my god!
Like that was, and then Bam came and hit like a really solid shot in like the left kind of short wing. That was like really timely. It felt like a good one. Mm-hmm. It feels like all of Bam's game feels to be kind of firming up, like just kind of calcifying and just really, really solidifying in like a really great, really mature type of way.
Yeah. We need like a Bonds thesaurus section. What was that? Calcifying?
Calcifying, yes.
That's a word, bro.
That's a fucking
SAT. That's a word of all time.
That's a fucking word.
Bro. That is one of the words of all time.
That's my goat. That's my fucking goat. We need Bonds thesaurus. We can all learn.
I have a little representation of Kevin Love today. How he was
Bro, this shit had me rolling. I saw this on Twitter.
Gad had tweeted that.
Kevin Love going to the basket.
Yeah, in the third quarter. This is exactly what it was, except he hit about seven cars on the way there. Every time.
He gave each of them a love bump. Bah, bah, bah.
You guys remember his drive in like the second quarter? He like caught it on the move and he felt like he was moving too fast for himself, but he like collided into four people and kind of just folded under the basket, like his knees folded in the front of him.
I thought he got hurt.
I thought he got hurt too. Like, oh, you're moving way too fast. Relax.
I was like, hold great, on. Orlando.
Old man, bro. The old man knees.
Yo, him and Sabonis were just going at each other and neither of them jumping. It was the funniest, yeah. Like, 3-minute stretches just going.
But Kevin Love was some freaking splashing. Like, he splashed two of them. It was crazy. And Sabonis even hit a three today. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what Cass said in the chat, Kevin Love picked Malik Monk off the floor how my mom picks up my Yorkie. He just grabbed that bitch by the arms and just, here you go, buddy. It's
so funny. Monk is like 165 pounds. That man is skinny.
He picked him up. You know, it wasn't even the armpits. It was like the, like that area.
He was like grabbing a puppy. He like grabbed them from the back.
He's like, come here.
Pick that man up by his tricep.
I was like, that's more disrespectful than running me over.
He had him on the back with it. Like, he gave him a backpack.
You know, he little bros him.
He's like, I just dealt with Zion. This is nothing.
Yeah.
That's exactly how my mom picks up my 4-pound Yorkie, bro. Shit is hilarious.
So fucking funny, dude.
Shout out to Jaime with, you know, room and time with the ball.
Yes.
Jaime's him. Best game in a while for Jaime.
He needed that one.
I mean, it's, you know, there's causation, you know, correlation.
I disagree with that. You guys were talking about that in the chat. I think that he had just been struggling. I think that teams had kind of sat on his pump fakes and he had to adjust. And I don't think that this is like he doesn't have Jimmy or Tyler in the lineup. I think that he got a lot off cuts and he got a lot off movement. And I think that they're just playing a little bit faster lately. I'm pleased. And he needed that because he had struggled. And I think defensively he was as alive as he's been in a long time.
Yeah. Feeling a little better, a little more rest. And I feel like the hierarchy helped them today. The shot distribution, he knew he was going to get there.
And that's kind of what I mean, G. Yeah. Not necessarily that, like, other guys are kind of, like, in the way of things. But, like, you know, he knew he was not going to get yanked for no, you know, real reason. And even when it feels like he's been figured out, you know, there's not 2-3 other people ahead of him who needed the next possession. Like, there was space for him to kind of get it back after
to work through it
a little bit. Yeah.
And that's what these games are for, though. That's what the regulars listen. Tomorrow they're gonna play. You know, I'm sure that. You know what I think is funny, that they suspended Jimmy for the back to back, and I was like, well, they were probably not even gonna play on both games anyway. Jokes on you, Adam Silver.
Waste of a suspension.
Yeah, you get a fresh Jimmy, and they won too without him, which is huge.
Crazy game.
I need Jaime to show out tomorrow against Joe Cronin. I hope all those dudes take it personally. I hope Duncan takes it personally. I hope Tyler takes it personally. I hope Hawkins takes it personally.
Nicola,
I hope
Tyler can take it. Tyler can take it off. Like, for real. Get well. We play him again. Don't worry. You got your chance to shine.
I need the Scoot Henderson 4-for-17 shooting and Jaime like 9-for-11, 9-for-12.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't want to be here anyway, bitch. But like, look at what you know. Just knew you didn't want, right?
It's funny how we're talking, like, they played the Kings, but we have to bring up Portland because they play them tomorrow. Portland had, like, they tweeted, like, 60% of their local viewership is down.
Yeah.
The fucking team hates that guy.
Bro, the Hornets held them to 80 points the other day. Like,
say that again for the people who don't know the Charlotte Hornets.
The Hornets.
Fucking despicable.
Grant Williams is Hornets.
He talked to
everybody. He's been hooping. Dude, but he's actually been playing good.
I just saw Drew Starr on Twitter tweeted out "Light the Beam," tweeted out a picture of Booby Trap.
That's great,
iconic.
That's for the South Florida local audience. Oh my god. Well, listen, this has been I survived. The Heat survived and I survived the show. Thank you to my beautiful teammates who got me through another one when I wasn't feeling well. And we'll be back here tomorrow. We got Heat Blazers. It is the Joe Cronin Bowl. Jimmy comes back. The Must villain of the NBA returns.
I like hope Jimmy blue. Like hits. Hold a up, hold three. Up, hold I need at least like two Dame times just for the.
Let's go, Lou.
Light the beam, Lou. Light the beam. Yo,
hey, that bitch is bright though. Hold on.
You can't even read it.
You can't read it at all. Nah,
you can't read it anyways. I gotta stand right here next to this light so you can get. I'm working, guys.
Let's just commissioner DM'd me the funniest thing about light the beam with your sign. I couldn't believe that he said.
I'm weak.
It looks like a dog. It looks like a dog being chased by a bike.
It does. Or like a dog bone. There's something behind a dog. That first part looks like a PlayStation controller. With
oh my God. Vaughn, it looks like the dog from Monopoly. The little dog piece from Monopoly.
Oh, that sign is iconic.
Hey, man, name I want to say.
Lou turned his head. She's trying to see it.
It is bright, bro.
Hey, man, I appreciate chat rocking with us. You know, we had like almost 200 people in here.
There you go.
Fucking Monday night at one in the morning. That's fucking, we, you know, never say that people don't love this team. We love you all for rocking with us. And we'll see you tomorrow. We got the Cronin Bowl. And then we got you for Denver, Heat Denver on Thursday rematch of the final. So we'll see you there. Shout out to y'all and embrace your bounce.
This is good.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.